You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, good morning, church. Glad you're gathering with us in your homes. We're going to get into the message in just a moment. We're so thankful to be able to do this over technology, and I just wanted to throw a big shout out. Today has been actually technologically going well for us. We made some changes this week. I just want to thank Gabe Laramie. He has been doing an awesome job behind the scenes, making sure that we actually know how to broadcast and that we're doing it well. And all the team that has been doing that, Jason Sweet and JJ, those guys are making this possible that we can come together, that we can actually hear each other, that we can experience worshiping together even from a distance. So thank you guys for all that work. So my message this morning, we're going to jump into, but I wanted to bring something up that you're going to see. We're going to do a little Facebook Live video in a couple days talking about this, but we ordered a few thousand of these door hangers. Now, this is an abnormal way for us to do something as a church. We wouldn't normally do this, but we wanted to come up with a way to reach out to our communities to just see who needs help. And so this door hanger, if you can see it, it just says, "You're not alone, how can we help?" And we have some information on the back, groceries, toiletries, financial coaching and guidance that Jason does, just someone to talk to, prayer or other needs. And we have some ways that people can contact us. Well, what we want to do is, if you feel comfortable, we're going to put on our masks, put on our gloves, we're going to disinfect everything, and we're going to go to neighborhood that we live in and just see if our neighbors are in need. You know, the longer this thing goes on, the longer that we're kind of in lockdown or on pause or shelter in place or whatever you want to call this, the more need is going to actually arise. And we want to be there to meet it. And so we're in this together, all of us, regardless of church affiliation, regardless of whether someone believes in God or not, we are here to help each other. We're meant to work with one another. We're meant to take care of one another. And so we're going to be doing that. If you happen to be interested, after you see our Facebook Live post about how we're going to do that, how we're going to distribute that best and most effectively, you can message us and join in on the effort of reaching out to our neighbors to say, how can we help you? So that's just a little thing we're going to do as a church. We have money set aside just to help, you know, pay for things that people are having in needs or different ways. So, awesome. Well, this morning, my message is called Transformed. If you don't have the notes, what you can do is, there's usually a post on the live feed as well, but you can also go to our website, www.ntcmessina.com, and you'll see quickly just three or four links, and there's one that just says message notes, and that's the notes for each Sunday. If you want to follow along, or if you want to get those afterwards to remind yourself what we talked about, that'd be great. But that's kind of what I'm speaking from. So today, the message is called Transformed. If you were with us last week, I talked about repentance. And I didn't actually put that out ahead of time, because I know that we kind of irk at this idea of repentance. But I hope, if you listened to the message last week, that you were actually encouraged. That repentance is supposed to be hope-filled. It's supposed to be a movement of our minds towards hope. And this morning, I want to use one of the same scriptures that we used last Sunday when we were talking about God renewing our minds, because what God ultimately wants to do with us is to transform us. That's why I want this title. It's just called Transform. His intention is to change us into what we were designed to be. Now, I use this statement a lot. If you've come to church here, if you've listened to me at all, or if you've ever been in a class with me or in a moment where I'm just rambling and talking to you about God, I say this a lot. God's original intention for us is his ultimate intention, meaning that when God originally designed humanity, it was to be in right relationship with him, right relationship with each other, and also right relationship with our world, with our environment, with this earth. He gave us those three things in the garden. In those first few chapters in Genesis, we see this relationship between those three things and the way we were designed to live. But then what happens? We screw it up. We mess it up. We do the one thing that God says, hey, just don't do this. Just take my word for it and don't do this one thing. And we do it anyway. And since then, the world has gone awry. It's messed up. We all can just look outside right now and say things are not right. Disease was never in the design. Viruses, never in the design. Hurt, pain, never in the design. Death, never in the design. But we introduced it by going astray, by saying, God, we think we know better than you, and we actually have introduced it as humanity. We've introduced the brokenness here. And what is amazing to me is that God, the God of this universe that has put everything into order and created everything we see, he says, listen, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make a way that we can get back to original design. His original intention is also his ultimate intention, meaning he will get us there ultimately. That he's changing us as people, and he's changing our world through us. Now, I don't know how that works at the end of this, but eventually, you know, we see in Revelation, Jesus comes back and he sets everything right. And that's a crazy scene if you've read that book. But in the middle moments right now, he's using us to change the world. And the only way that we can change the world back towards its original intention is if we've been changed. Is if we've been transformed. So let's begin to read Romans 12, 2. You can turn there in your Bibles with me. The scriptures will be on the screen as well. And this is the scripture. We read this last week. Let's just start in verse 1 with Paul. And he says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We talked about this last week. That's what repentance is. It's a change in our mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There's a whole lot in these scriptures. The first one, it says, present our bodies. It just means give God everything that we are. You know, Christianity is not a half in, half out type thing. It's a chips all on the board activity. It's not just a religious duty we tune into on a Sunday or we pray in a moment of desperate need. It means, God, I'm going to give you everything that I am. That's what it means to follow Christ. It means we become followers. We no longer go our own way. We no longer make just decisions for ourselves, but we follow the way of Jesus. And when we do that, it says that we've given our bodies to him. We've given our lives to him as a holy sacrifice. And it says we shouldn't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but we should let God transform us into a new person. So I've got in your notes there, transformed. It just means this. This is the definition. To make a thorough or dramatic change in a form, appearance, or character of something. To make a thorough and dramatic change. A thorough and dramatic change. I think about this when I think about us coming to Jesus. You know, we come in one way. We're broken, we're lost, maybe we're desperate, maybe we've just realized that God is real and that he cares for us, and we come with our lives, and what he wants from us is everything. And so we give him our lives, we give him our all, and then I want to say this. Do we actually expect a thorough and dramatic change in our lives? I think sometimes we just come on Sunday or join in on Sunday now and we hear a great worship song or even an impactful word. And in those moments, something does take place in us. But as soon as we shut off the computer, shut off the TV, or go home, that somehow it doesn't actually take any effect. That's not Christianity at all. That's a club. That's just joining some religious thing. But what God is asking of us is that there's a thorough and dramatic change within us. That's what transformed means. It means literally to be one thing in one moment and then to become something completely different in another. I mean, we see this in nature. We see this in life. We see, you know, animals that take a change. We see insects that go from caterpillars into butterflies. We see what transformation means in the natural. But when we look at our own lives, I don't think we necessarily expect it. Or maybe, even if we don't expect it, sometimes we don't want it. Sometimes we want to come to Jesus and we're like, hey, here's the pieces I don't like. You know, I don't really like the fear thing I have. I don't really like this thing I have to deal with. You take those, but this other stuff, I kind of like it still. Can I keep it? But that's not a thorough and dramatic change. Jesus, when he comes into our life, he actually expects us to push everything aside, and now he gets to pick what needs to be changed. Not us. Not us. Now, I want to share this little story from my life. Sometimes people ask me, and even sometimes I'm just asking myself this question, like, how did I get here? You know, if I see a friend that maybe I went to high school with, and they find out that I'm a pastor, this isn't necessarily what they would have pictured my life would turn into. And I always go, yeah, me neither. I'm like, yeah, I'm just as shocked as you. And so people ask, like, how did this happen? I say, and it's a long story, of course. But there's actually this moment in my life when I had come back to God. He had rescued me from depression and suicide and all this junk that I was living in. And I came back to him and I was doing my best to follow him. It wasn't very good, but I was doing my best. And I remember I had a dream one night. And in this dream, I was basically on this road, this long highway, and I could see way out down the highway. And I was a fairly planned out person. Like, even as young, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I was going to the college I wanted to do. I wanted to major in music, but not really for music's sake. I loved audio engineering. I loved the tech stuff that we're actually doing a lot with right now. And I was going to college for that. And so I saw my life in this certain order. And I'd wanted to do basically live audio for music, for bands, for live production settings. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew it. And I had actually bought my own equipment. I was doing it on the side and bars and restaurants on the weekend for bands. And I was following this pattern that I had laid out down this road. And I could see down this road in my dream. And I saw these milestones in a sense that was like, oh, yeah, I want to get here. And then I want to get there. And then I want to get there. And I had just recently come back to following God. And I was simply asking him this question in my everyday life. God, what do you want me to do? Because what I'm doing now isn't working. Now, I didn't really mean that stuff. I just meant the bad stuff that I knew I shouldn't do. The drinking and the partying and the living for reputation and all the junk that I'd gotten swallowed up in my college years. I was just saying, I know I'm not supposed to do that. But what happened in this moment, in this dream, was I was asking God this question. And these arms came in front of me. I couldn't see anything else. I just could look down the road. And I saw these arms come in front of me, and they kind of grabbed every milestone in my long-distance sight, and they just pulled everything behind me like this until I couldn't see it anymore. I couldn't see anything in my peripheral. I just saw a long, empty road. And I felt God say this to me in this dream. Now let me put what I want in front of you. And I said, okay, I'll do whatever you want. That's how I ended up here. Because I finally came to a place in my life with him where I said, okay, God, I don't want to keep pieces to myself. I don't want to just keep what I want and maybe let you in certain ways, but at other times I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I just said, God, okay, I'll do what you want for me. And that's when I really believe God began to transform me. I was already saved. I had already now repented and God was changing my mind, but now I was entering this place of transformation where God was going to take who Greg Hurlbut was on one day and turn him into a new person the next day. That's what this says. In Romans 12, he says, let God transform you into a new person. Do you know what new means? New. It doesn't mean old. It doesn't mean even some of the old. In fact, transformation in our Oxford Dictionary of thorough and dramatic change, it doesn't even actually do justice to the word. It literally means completely new. As if what is now here didn't exist at all. We're not even supposed to have old parts of us. And maybe that almost scares you a little bit, but the truth is this. When we follow Jesus, we recognize that he knows far better who we're supposed to be than we do. That the design that I think of myself when I evaluate who I am and what I want to be like, he knows me far better, and his design will be far better when I let go of mine. That's transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it reads this way. It says, "And we all," this is Paul again, "who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Now, this isn't the NIV. It's a little bit different than I usually read out of the NLT because I liked how it said this. It says, with unveiled faces. Let me just explain what that means. It just simply means with opened eyes. That we no longer look at Christianity or God from a distance and wonder what that thing is all about. But when we come to him with new opened eyes where we go, oh my gosh, Jesus is real. Oh my gosh, Jesus loves me. Oh my gosh, Jesus did something incredible for me on that cross, raised from the dead. When we come after that point with new opened eyes to who he is, it says we're being transformed into his image. If you go back to Genesis 1, the best part of Genesis 1 is when it says he created them male and female in his image. You look like God. Did you know that? You're supposed to look like God, the creator of all things. We look like him. Now, some of us are probably a little less looking like him at times. But we're supposed to look like God, our Father. And when we get away from that, after Genesis 3, when sin comes in and this distance between us and God comes in, we get away and we stop looking like him. And here we are thousands and thousands of years later, and we're maybe just a bare resemblance of the people we were always created to look like. And now it says when we come back to Jesus that he's turning us, transforming us back into his image. That's what he wants to do inside us. He doesn't want us to stay the same. We're not supposed to be unchanged Christians. If the only thing that Christianity looks different is that we get up on Sunday morning and go to church, or get up on Sunday morning and tune in, that doesn't look different enough. We're supposed to become new people, new persons, back into the image that we were always designed to be. You know, I wrote in your notes, the key word in the scripture in Romans 12 is to let God transform you. I think that's funny that it's there. It just tells you what's the kind of the linchpin in this whole situation is us. Are we letting God transform us? He can. He has the power to. But he doesn't unless we let him. Do we want to let God transform us, or do we want to hold on to things tightly because we think we know better, because we think this is us and we don't want to let go of this part of us, but yet we are uncertain about the image that God has created for us to be? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Has a new life begun inside you? Maybe you're watching this today and you don't even know if you're saved. You don't know what repentance is about. I'm telling you, simply that begins with just saying, God, I want to be back into your family. I want to give my life to you. And when that has happened, then we have to evaluate, has a new life begun? I wrote in the notes this question, are we living like a new person that has a new life? Or are we living like our old selves with just a free pass? Salvation, absolutely. The minute we whisper those words and God looks at our heart and it is contrite, meaning that it's saying something true, that we've lowered ourselves and said, God, we need you. When he sees our heart, we have salvation. We'll be in heaven. All the things that you've heard about Christianity and you go to heaven, that's absolutely true in salvation. But beyond that moment, which is just the starting line of things, can we look and say, God, have we become new people? Or are we just the same old people with a free pass now? I don't want to live like I just have a free pass. In fact, that's not what I'm interested in. I love the idea. I mean, absolutely. About heaven and eternity one day. But I'll tell you, most of us, we don't think past the next hour. I mean, it's just look at the way we live. We do so many things that are bad for us and we know it. But in the moment, it's good. I make this joke all the time. Whenever I roll through McDonald's, I know McDonald's is bad for me. The food is not going to make me healthy and make me lose weight. I know it, but I'm like, but it's so good. And I know that it might even shorten my, you know, it's like smoking. We do the same thing. Like, I mean, how many years have we, they print it gigantically. This causes cancer. And we're like, yeah, so what? And we smoke anyway. Or drinking. We're like, oh, we know what this does, but we do it anyway because the instant effects aren't always right there. It's hard for us to live just out of an eternity like, okay, salvation, good. I'm set for eternity. The truth is God wants heaven in our lives right now. That's what the message was about last week when we heard Jesus saying, repent and turn towards the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is supposed to be in us now, not someday when we die. It's supposed to affect us now. It's supposed to change who we are now. It's supposed to transform us now. Will we let it? James 1:22, I want to read from that. If you've ever read the book of James, James is kind of a real straightforward guy. I love him. Some people don't really love how he wrote this letter, but he's straightforward. And sometimes we just need to be a little straightforward. And he writes this in James 1:22. He says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, let me explain that. First off, he's really plain here. He just says, don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen to the things that he wants us to change into, but actually do it. Actually let him do it in you. And then he says, if we listen but don't obey, it's like looking at a mirror, looking at our face in a mirror and forgetting what we look like. What that means is this. It's like looking at your life in a mirror, reflecting upon who you are, what you're like, and then completely ignoring it. How much in our life are we ignoring right now? I mean, for me, that's the easiest way to deal with anything. It didn't happen. I mean, sometimes when I'm at home and I've just had it, like my patience level is gone, my best next option is ignore that anything else is happening. It doesn't work. It only works for me. It doesn't really help out my wife or my kids. But I just tend to want to ignore. Okay, no, that didn't just happen. You know, for the 15th time that one of my kids has tattled on their other brother or sister for doing something wrong. And usually I get them, they're disciplined, or they have to sit in the corner, they have to be quiet, they have to lose a toy, or whatever, I'm punishing them. But sometimes I literally look down at them, I go, I don't care. That's me ignoring it. That's me looking in a mirror and going, no, I'm not dealing with it. How often do we do that to ourselves? We do something we know is out of the character of who we're called to be. We look at the mirror in it, and instead of saying, okay, God, change me from this moment, you just ignore it. That's what James is confronting. He's saying, don't ignore it. Now listen, Christianity, is really dangerous on two sides of things. On one side, Christianity can say, you are the worst, you're nothing, you're full of sin, you're broken, you can do nothing on your own, and we end up looking at ourselves and we feel like trash. But you see, that's not Christianity either. Or there's the grace side, which is you're loved and you're beautiful and you're a new person, but yet you haven't changed a bit, and we go on living with a free pass. Well, that's not Christianity either. You know, I heard this statement about humility once, and I think it's really good for us. Humility is not looking at yourself better than you are, nor looking at yourself less than you are. It's looking at yourself for who you are. And this is what James is kind of pressing us a little bit. He's saying, listen, look at the mirror and just evaluate what's really going on. I don't ever want to ignore the faults in my life. I don't want to dwell on them. I don't want to look at them every day and be like, man, what's wrong with me? And how come I can't change this thing? Because that's not helpful. But I do want to look and acknowledge, God, this thing needs to change. And I want to let you change it. I want to let you transform me. And this is what James is saying to us today. What are we doing that in our lives that we've been ignoring? What are the things in our lives that God is wanting to transform in us, but yet we just ignore, or we keep God at arm's length? God wants to transform every part of who you are. And I think even beyond all of the ignoring or maybe just not wanting to deal with our faults or all those things, at the end of it, the most difficult part is this. Do we trust that God's design for us is better than our own? Do we trust that the person God knew, you know, see, 2 Timothy says he knew us before time began, that he had purposes created for us before time began. That blows my mind when I read that scripture. That somehow before all of this began, he knew you. Right now, in this moment, he knew what you would be like, and he had a design for you. Do we trust that that design is better than the one we're living in right now? Now, you could be brand new to Jesus. You could have barely met him, or you could have been following him for the last 45 years of your life. Guess what? God can still transform you more into his image this morning. More into who he's designed us to be. And the question is, will we let him? Will we let him? In what ways have we not let God transform us? Now, don't get down on yourself. Please don't hear that at all this morning. But if we're to be the people God has called us to be, if we're to live in the promises and the heaven is near factor, if we're to live heaven in our lives, then we have to be transformed into the image that we're called to be. We can't live in the junk of yesterday, but be living in the heaven that God has for us or the promises that he has for us. We can't be the people we used to be and experience the goodness and wholeness that God has for us. We have to let those things go. We have to let God. Now, also hear this. You don't do the transforming part. There's nothing that you actually do. You have to just let God do the process in you. Now, sometimes that means agreeing with him. Sometimes he tells you to, you know, ask for forgiveness. Sometimes he tells you to go to a person to fix a problem. And you have to follow those things. But at the end of the day, he's the one that transforms you. The question is, can we put our guard down and let him? Can we let him into those deepest places of our lives, the darkest places of our lives that we don't even want to think about? Can we let him change us from the inside out so that the world can be changed around us? Because that's the ultimate goal. That God transforms us, and around us the world will transform. Where in our lives have we ignored what we see in the mirror? Where in our lives have we ignored what we see in the mirror? This mirror is meant for your eyes only. It's nobody else's job, not mine, nor anyone else in your life, to point out what's wrong in your mirror. It's yours. It's yours to look at yourself and let the Holy Spirit, James says, let the Holy Spirit do a work inside you to see, God, what do you need to transform in me? Now, I want to pray with you this morning. I believe there's people watching this that know there's something deep inside them. They just want to let go. And God is asking you this morning, let go of those things. You don't need them. You don't need approval. You don't need that thing in your life to get through the next day. You don't need addiction or fear. You don't need those things that maybe even make you feel safe. He is all of those things for you. And right where you are, in your home, on your couch, on your phone, in your car, wherever you happen to hear this, let go of it this morning and let God transform you. I promise He will. I'm standing here in front of you today just as confused at how I got here as you might be. God does incredible things when we let go of the reins of our life and let Him decide for us what's happening. I'm going to pray with you this morning. I'm going to pray that God gives you everything you need to make those steps and to even look at yourself deeper in the mirror, not to feel condemnation, but to feel hope for heaven coming in your life, to feel hope that God wants to change you into the amazing human, the amazing person that He always intended. God, we thank You for what You're doing right now. God, I believe that in homes around the state, God, even the people that I know that are tuning in from far distances and across the world, even, God, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit does something in their hearts. Pull on every one of us deeper into You, Jesus, today. Pull us into Your presence, God. Pull us back into the image that You created us, God. Don't let us remain where we are. God, don't let us be satisfied even with the life that we've known, even the transformation we have experienced. God, we all say together right now in your home, if you're listening to this, say this, God, we want more transformation. God, we want more of what You have for us. And we don't want to be complacent Christians. We don't want to just look in a mirror and ignore the process, God. We don't want to just live in our old lives with a free pass of salvation. We want to be transformed into Your image. And God, I ask for Your blessing over every home, over every family, over every situation. God, I pray right now that You would meet every need, every provision in people's lives right now, Father. God, You care about us far more than any government does, far more than any stimulus package. So God, we ask right now that You would release provision over people's lives. God, encouragement, hope, peace, anything that people need right now, Father, let them experience Your love. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. We pray for your family. Be blessed. We ask that you just join us again. Be encouraged this week. You know, talk to your friends. Encourage your friends. Be those that give hope to others. Be blessed today. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.